I'm your host, Alex Newman. We are here with the New American Magazine. We have a very special guest today. We've interviewed somebody who he's working with, Tom Rentz, a few times on this program. I want to introduce you to Todd Callender. He has been practicing law for almost three decades. He is the principal in the law firm Disabled Rights Advocates. He's also the CEO of a large health and disability insurance group. And he is currently involved in some of the most important litigation happening anywhere in the country right now. You are going to have your mind blown. So stay tuned, and it's just, it's unbelievable. One of the recent lawsuits he filed was against the U.S. Department of Defense, the Department of Health and Human Services, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. The case is Robert V. Austin. And this is an effort to stop the vaccine mandates at the Department of Defense and also to cause the DOD to stop forced vaccinations while the religious exemptions and other exemption procedures are examined for almost half a million members of the armed forces who have been resisting. And there's another one that we're going to talk about, folks, that is just mind-blowing. But Todd, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell us about this important case that you guys are working on against the Department of Defense et al.
Yeah, it's got a life of its own, Alex. Thanks for having me here to talk about it and other things. So in August of last year, we filed suit in Robert V. Austin, as you indicated, against the Department of Defense et al. And that came as a result of the military mandates that, you know, all uniformed people and their employees, you know, the regular civilian employees, would have to take these compulsory experimental gene engineering, gene therapy shots. None of that was legal, including the authorization by the Secretary of Defense himself, in so much that in the anthrax cases only 20 years ago, Congress actually addressed this very issue and said that only the president has the authority to waive military members' informed consent rights. So that was the crux of the issue. And at the same time, we came to understand that the Secretary of Defense had actually authorized the use of force, meaning they could actually hold people down and give them these shots. And that was enough to really launch us into this this whole suit, this pursuit. You know, and none of it was legal from the get-go anyway, right? It's, like I said, it's experimental. It's gene therapy, never been done before in human populations, using lipid nanoparticles, again, never done in human populations before. And with polyethylene glycol, that's the base chemicals they use for antifreeze, or did. And then on top of it, they wanted everybody to give up their informed consent rights. And then on top of that, even, they wouldn't allow anybody to utilize existing exemptions. There are four of them. In Army regulations and Air Force, all of the services have the exact same regulations. They wanted to resist all of them and not allow not one. And that's pretty much what's happened from that point in time.
So what's the status of the suit right now? I know it seems like most of the members of the military have now been coerced into taking this injection. Many of them were told that they'd be let go from the military or worse if they didn't comply. Where's the lawsuit now, and at what point does it become a moot point because they've injected everybody with this thing?
Well, first and foremost, I can tell you this, they are not going to inject everybody with this thing, because there are the people that have said no, including those that maybe got one or two shots. They're really saying no. We found evidence that the Pfizer, Moderna, and others actually used HIV proteins in the adjuvant. Now people are showing up HIV positive, and doctors are now diagnosing people with vaccine-induced AIDS. Acquired immune deficiency syndrome. So if that's already in the shots, we know that they're deadly. And all of our clients in the military also now understand this. They're not going to take any more shots. There might be a few of them that'll go along with it. But when we started the suit, there were 200,000 people who said, I've already had COVID. I'm not going to do this. As of now, we probably have some in the neighborhood of 500,000 people, and the class keeps getting bigger. Unfortunately, The day we went to a setting hearing was the day after Tom Rentz and some other people did their press release, including the one with Senator Johnson. That very next day, the day of our setting conference, our case got dismissed by the court for no reason. He actually didn't really delineate much for reasoning. So we filed an appeal into the Tenth Circuit Court, and that's where we're at now. And on that appeal, we raised another issue, which is that these gene therapy shots, they genetically modify the user. And believe it or not, that creates patent rights, intellectual property rights in the people that got the vaccination. There's actually a case on this called Myriad Genomics. And it's a U.S. Supreme Court case going back to 2013. And we're telling the court, you know, I'm sorry, but slavery was outlawed by the 13th Amendment. You don't get to own other people.
Wow. There's so much here to break down. We've got to go to break in about 5 minutes and we'll come back on the other side and talk more about it. But let's first talk about some of the health implications. I understand Tom Rents and you who's working with him on this case. You guys got some of the data from the DOD showing just an unfathomably huge increase in all sorts of diseases, mortality, deaths. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was on the order of 1,000%. And then the DOD scrambled and tried to conceal all of this. Tell us a little bit about what you guys have discovered just through the DOD's own materials in terms of what the health effects of this have been on our military members.
Sure. So the benefit of having several hundred thousand clients in the military is you get a lot of whistleblowers as well. And we had four separate whistleblowers in the healthcare business in the military who provided the exact same data separately. So it was all correlated. And it demonstrated that in 10 months of 2021, so not even the full year, there was an 1,100% increase, all-cause morbidity and mortality, over the full year of 2020. And when you say all cause morbidity, mortality, that means, you know, every type of malady that either injures or kills you went up by hundreds, if not thousands of percentile points. And that was only for 10 months into 2021. Since that point in time, Tom got up, did a beautiful job with Senator Johnson and got this out to the world. Right after that, then the DOD said, oh, wait, no, we've got a glitch. It's a software glitch. Everything's fine. They've always been this sick and injured. And on that base, sick, injured, or dead. And on that basis, we would have had the most sick, injured, and dead military on the planet. Because the maladies that we found were just incredible. Aside from heart problems, aside from cancer problems, there was a doubling of HIV positive. The military normally has 300 people a year or so with HIV, and it boomed to more than 600 over the course of that 10-month period of time. So when you say all-cause morbidity and mortality, according to our expert witnesses, the only way that happens is if everybody is getting some kind of a disease that affects their autoimmune. And that's where the experts in this industry and the experts that are testifying for us said this is vaccine-induced acquired immune deficiency syndrome. It's vaccine-induced AIDS, and that's where we went down the rabbit trail and found out that in several cases there are at least three separate HIV pathogens that were actually included in the shots for the purpose of disabling people's immune systems. The only way they could get the lipid nanoparticles, the gene engineering bombers, into the body was to actually disarm people's immunity.
Wow. The implications of this are absolutely terrifying, Todd. And, this actually goes right along with some of the other data we've been seeing. We've been seeing data out of the UK now from the government. They just recently announced they were going to stop publishing it, but they had pretty reliable data showing that, you know, virtually everybody that was getting COVID, that was ending up in the hospital, that was dying from this, was injected with multiple doses of these injections. We've talked to many doctors who corroborated this. When we get back from the other side of the break, I want to talk about this issue of owning people. But before we go to the break in about a minute, what are the implications of these health issues in our military and of finishing and injecting more service members with these vaccines for national security, say?
National security, that's exactly the issue, because everybody that got these shots is now injured, if not walking dead. So we've got a serious problem now, and we need to address it. And right now, the military isn't addressing it. All they're doing is requiring more shots or throwing people out of the military. I don't understand how this is even possible, and yet we find ourselves in this very situation.
Is there anything that the court could do to remedy this other than just saying, no more of these injections?
Well, that would be a good starting point. And then after that, they could reinstate people back to their positions, because that's what we really need. Some of our greatest warriors are now thrown out of the military. Those are the people that we need. We're horribly crippled without these good people. So we really need them back in.
That's amazing. All right, folks, we're going to go to break. We will be right back. And And Todd, before we went to break, you kind of threw something out there, and I wanted to pick back up now that we have a little bit more time on this side of the break. You mentioned that these injections have the capability, at least, of altering people's genetic coding, and that this has actual implications from a patent and intellectual property perspective, and 13th Amendment implications from a constitutional perspective. Walk us through this, because I mean that just sounds so fantastical. Yeah. I think a normal person hearing that would say, "Oh, that's ludicrous." Walk us through this. Yeah.
Well, it's not ludicrous, and in fact, it's now in our court proceeding. If you look up Robert V. Austin in the Tenth Circuit, you will find we actually pled this in our pleadings, and we've got documented proof of it. In short, what happens, according to Molecular Pathology versus Myriad Genetics, a 2013 Supreme Court case, the use of messenger RNA to effectuate gene modification, gene therapy, as the military, Pfizer and Moderna call it, creates intellectual property rights in the synthetic genome. So messenger RNA changes the cells that the person produces. You've heard people on the media talk about producing S proteins. Well, that's what they are. Those are synthetic proteins. And the result of those synthetic proteins become a part of the human. You know, that's what they're manufacturing them. They're inside the human. What that means is that at least in part, those synthetic proteins, those parts of the person, belong to the intellectual property right holders, otherwise known as the patent holders. So we filed suit in relation to this. It's actually a violation of the 13th Amendment, in so much that that is where our government outlawed slavery in 1865. And on top of that, there's actually statutory language in the Patent Authorization Act itself that says you don't get to patent other people. Yet, this is seemingly the plan all along. If you look at a 2001 NASA, NASA warfare program, they talk about it. So right after September 11, NASA comes out and says, you know what, we really need to genetically modify our soldiers. We need super soldiers. And you might have seen in August of last year, Kim Jong-un, North Korea, already did a demonstration of his super soldiers. So what we found is that we're in the middle of an arms race. It's a new arms race. China's doing, America's doing it. Germany and the United Kingdom have done their own studies, and they have a very lengthy document detailing what they're going to do with their super soldiers. This is not speculation as to whether or not they're doing it. They are doing it. The question is, what are they going to do with the result of this genetic modification? Who gets to survive it? Because of the HIV proteins put into these shots, now we got a whole lot of sick people, and frankly, a lot of people who are dying, many of who have already died. So the question becomes, how do those people survive on this? And I don't think it's by coincidence that Moderna just got emergency use authorization for their own HIV vaccine. So it kind of makes sense, right? They give everybody AIDS effectively. And then you become forever beholden to the new vaccine manufacturer, Moderna, just to survive. You have to go and get your HIV shot to survive. So it seems like it's almost a coercive way of doing it. And from my perspective, it looks a whole lot like software upgrades. So they've downloaded the hardware, they've genetically modified the person, the soldier in this particular case, and now they have to do software upgrades, and they'll do that every time they give them a new shot.
Yeah. And again, that language sounds just absolutely outrageous. And yet I've heard this kind of language coming from leading scientists at Moderna. I've got a video that I've used in some of my talks where one of the chief scientists there, he says, we're hacking the operating system of life. I mean, this stuff is just absolutely wild. Now, I remember years ago seeing some court cases involving genetic engineering of crops, right? You had situations where the wind was blowing like pollen onto somebody else's field. And then Monsanto, some of these companies would come in and say, hey, you got our DNA that we patented in your crop. That's that makes your crop our crop. Is this the same kind of thing? And that case that you mentioned, does that involve humans?
So the case that I was talking about, a Myriad Genetics case, does not involve humans, but it certainly contemplates that this could spill into humans. And you couldn't be more right about that. Monsanto was some of the earlier precedent that the Supreme Court relied upon. And what you just said is really quite insightful. If you think about it, Monsanto, they don't sell corn. What they do is they license the use of the corn to the people who grow it and the people who eventually consume it. The same kind of logic would apply here if you have a genetically modified person, by the way, already named as a new species, Homo borgensis. then who gets to employ that person? Do they have to pay a licensing fee, you know, for the use of that person? Bill Gates, in the meantime, has made up a new patent that wants to utilize these genetically modified people as batteries. You know, you couldn't make this stuff up. It's absolutely absurd and bizarre. Yet, this is where we're at.
Yep. And folks, I encourage you, you know, don't just take our word for it. Go look at this stuff yourself. Back in 2018, Bill Gates wrote an article called Gene Editing for Good. It appeared in Foreign Affairs, the propaganda mouthpiece of the Council on Foreign Relations. I call it deep state headquarters here, where he openly contemplated the idea of genetically engineering human beings for our own benefit, of course. God clearly didn't know what he was doing when he wrote our genetic code. Todd, this stuff is so huge. It's so mind-blowing. It's actually a little bit terrifying. You're fighting this in the courts, and thank you for that. What can average Americans do to fight? I mean, we're not all lawyers. We can't all go into the, you know, the appeals courts and fight this. What can we do?
Boy, I like that question. Thank you. First and foremost, learn from your two-year-old and start saying no. No, I'm not going to wear my mask. No, I'm not going to take your damn shot. You know, I'm not going to comply with your nonsense. The stuff that our government is doing right now is so beyond the pale. It is so bizarre. Start with the word no. Secondarily, those of you who have got a loved one in uniform, ask them, why are you not upholding the Constitution? Why are you not investigating this? These are crimes against humanity. Right? They're defined as such. The violations that our government is doing right now are the same ones that happened in Nuremberg back in 1945. And we hung a couple of hundred people for that back then. It would be a couple of hundred thousand need sentencing today. So start with no. Number two, start talking to your people. Ask your husband, your wife, your father, whoever it is, why are you not stopping this? If you're in uniform, you have jurisdiction to stop this. You swore an oath to the Constitution, and according to the Nuremberg Code, which is in U.S. law and international law, everybody has jurisdiction. Universal jurisdiction applies. Frankly, a traffic court anywhere on the planet has it. And I would say this, there are going to be court martials. Nuremberg was a court martial. There will be court martials in some country. And because of universal jurisdiction, our generals may very well get tried in somebody else's court. My point to them is, would you rather get tried in a U.S. court martial, or would you rather have Vladimir Putin's army trying you in their court martial? Because that's where this is all going.
Yeah, and you're right. The outrage is building. The awareness is spreading. Todd, we're not going to hear about your case from the fake media. Can people stay up to date? Are you on social media? Do you have a website? What's the best way for people to follow you and get updates on what's happening?
Good. So really two places. Number one, we work very closely with Truth for Health Foundation. That's truthforhealth.org. Secondarily, Vax Choice has daily updates. That's vaxxchoice.com. People can go there, and we have an archive of materials. Everything that I've told you is there and documented as proof. We have all the evidence, and then we have daily commentaries where we have a team of people every day that put information together, either from our case or other places, and just general news items. And people can really learn a lot. Go trolling through the archives. There's self-legal help documents there, and people don't need a lawyer. Just grab a complaint, go and file it. There is a form criminal complaint on both of those websites. You can download it and go file it with your attorney general, with your local sheriff, your local police captain, whoever it is. Take back your country. Now's your time. There's nobody coming to help us, right? We've got to do this ourselves. So forget about lawyers. Start suing. There's no way they can answer all the complaints from everybody. We'll end up with some default judgments that we could enforce, and we can put a stop to this ourselves. We need to demand they stop this. This is nothing short of genocide.
Genocide. Yeah, folks, this is serious. Well, Todd, I want to thank you so much for coming on the program today. Thank you for sharing your insight, and thank you for what you're doing in these cases. We look forward to talking to you again once there's more news to report.
You bet. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that was Todd Callender, an attorney who is litigating, like I said, some of the most important cases anywhere in the country right now. We will bring you updates as we get them, because, folks, this stuff is literally critical. The future of humanity, the future of liberty, the future of our very species is on the line. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. My name is Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter for the New American. We'll be back next time with more. Thanks, and God bless you all.